The 17th. My name is Isabel Tuning, and I'm back to re-interview Marjorie Ann Weitzel Chittum. I better stop and see if I'm. And can you just tell me your name so we'll see if it's picking up your voice?
Marjorie Ann. I was Weitzel, now Chittum. Marjorie Ann Weitzel Chittum.
Mrs. Chittum had some great stories that she told me after we turned the tape off another time, and then also at my house. So I wanted to see if I could get her to recount some of those great stories again on tape. And we were just talking about a family in Brownsburg that I hadn't heard very much about before, the Carter family. Could you tell me where they lived? And
okay, the Carters, it was a black family, and the Mr. Carter, his name was Press, is Preston, but everybody called him Press, and his wife's name was Hallie. And the boys were a lot older than I was. Yeah, I think even older than John Layton, probably. I know they were. And there was, one of them was Sam, and one was Roger and Albert, and then there's Hunter was the youngest. And Roger lived in Stanton, and it was really odd when our son Doug was in high school in Stanton. It was after the schools were integrated, and he came home one day and he said, Mom, there's the nicest boy in my class, and he said his daddy's from Brownsburg. And I said, well, who is it? And he said, well, his name's the same as mine. His name's Doug Carter. And he said he lives here in Stanton. And I said, what's his daddy's name? And so Doug didn't know. So the next day he asked him, and he said his name was Roger. And so I said, yeah, I know. He lived just two houses below us. So then Doug Carter went back to tell his daddy that he knew somebody from Brownsburg. So he and Doug Carter, our son Doug and Doug Carter, became really good friends, and Doug Carter was a great big buxom boy and a football player for Lehigh, and then he went on to college and graduated, and he just retired, I think last year I talked to him, maybe year before last, and he had retired from teaching, said he's just going to take life easy now.
Well, that's great. And where did the Carters live?
The Carters lived the second house down from us, but that house has been torn down. It was a little house, a little frame house, very small, and it was between the house that I think maybe the people that Mr. Tom Bosworth used to live there, but the last people I knew were the Frost. It was between the Frost house and Lisa Swisher's house, and it was just a little small house, and that's where those people lived. And a couple of those people, when my daddy was in undertaking business, a couple of those boys worked for daddy just kind of part-time when he needed them.
What kind of work did they do?
Well, when daddy, of course, you know daddy was a funeral director, and they would just do odd jobs, like when caskets would come in, you know, they would help to unload them, or when they had to do cemetery work, go set up the chairs and the tent and take the lowering device and all that, help set, just do that kind of, that's the only thing they did. They were really nice, right? And then Hunter was the youngest one, and well, Hallie raised, she had two little grandchildren she raised there, and the little girl I played with a lot, Hallie Mae. And then Hunter was the youngest boy. He was a really, really nice boy. And he married Isabel. Isabel Stevenson. That's who he married. And Hunter died really young, very young. It was very sad. People in Brownsburg really liked Hunter. But he died very young. I don't think they had any children. And then Isabel's sister's name was Dora, and she married Dan Franklin, and she worked for Dr. Joe and Miss Williams for years and years and years, and just like one of their family.
Taking care of their children? Is that what she did?
She took care of the children, and she did the cooking. She just did, she, as Ms. Williams said, she just did everything. She just did everything. And she was with them in Brownsburg, and then she moved down here with them. And they lived, the first place they lived on was on Selma Boulevard. And then my stepfather, Hugh McNutt, built the Williams house over in the other end of town. And Dora was over there with them all those years. And she was just with them until she was not able to be of any help anymore. She had, I think she had arthritis and just was not well. So she didn't work full time, but she went every day. I mean, she just lived. She just was one of them, really. She came every day.
What did Hunter die of, that he died so young?
You know, now I don't remember that. I don't remember why, what was wrong with Hunter. I know he was very young. He was a really nice looking black boy, and though he's just such a nice, I really didn't know the older ones that well, but I knew Hunter and Albert better than the others, because when the others were, when I should have been knowing them, I wasn't old enough to really, I knew them, but I didn't know mm-hmm. that much about them.
They were more someone who worked for your dad,
yes,
than
that's
someone,
right.
than your mm-hmm. contemporaries. Mm-hmm.
But Hunter was the youngest, but he was really a nice person, really a nice person. And everybody just thought he and Dora, he and Isabel made such a nice couple.
I had asked Isabel if I could interview her about her memories of Brownsburg, and she said, oh, I don't really remember much. I lived there until I was six, and then I moved to Bluefield, West Virginia, and I remember mm-hmm. more about Bluefield, but she didn't want to be interviewed.
Yeah, I didn't know. It was just, I think somebody else, you asked me about when I knew them, and I told you, it was just kind of, they were always there, mm-hmm. and I just don't have any recollection of exactly when Isabel and Dora showed up, but I know they were always together, and they were really pretty girls,
mm-hmm.
really, and really, they just always looked so nice, and they were always had a happy, they were just really friendly and nice girls, and everybody just thought Dora and Isabel were just really special.
When Isabel and Hunter got married, then did they move out on the hill below,
you know,
on Stewart Road?
I believe they did, but I don't remember exactly where they lived, but
mm-hmm.
I kind of think they did live over on that hill. I believe they did. Because I don't have any recollection.
Now, there's a Lewis Carter who lives on Stewart Road now. Do you know what his connection to that family would be?
I don't know whether they had any children or not. I don't remember. It's some things are so vivid in my mm-hmm. mind, and then some things mm-hmm. are vague. I mean, people say something about it, and I think, oh, yeah, I remember that. But then when I go to get into the detail of it, it won't come, you know, I just can't put it together. So I don't really know whether they had any children or not. I don't know, because I don't even remember how long they were, but I know when he died, it was a real shock to Brownsburg that he had died so young,
mm-hmm.
so young, yeah.
Was there a funeral in Brownsburg?
Oh, I'm sure it was. I don't mm-hmm. I don't have any idea, but I'm sure it was.
I'm skipping around just
That's okay.
remembering the stories that I wanted to get on the tape, but you had told me a story about riding with Winifred Beard.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, Winnie and I were really good friends. She was a year ahead of me in school, but we were really good friends, and the Beards, really, at that time, I don't know who up there now, maybe nobody does, because I've never heard of it, but they had a little swimming pool in their yard. And so I used to go out to Winnie's and get in the pool. But one Sunday afternoon, Mr. Beard had horses. He was quite a horse person. I remember those riding pants that you wear. I remember those. And so Winnie asked him if we could ride the horses. And he said, sure. So he got them all saddled up. Well, I knew nothing about a horse because I'd never been on a horse. Maybe one time, I think maybe one time when I spent it, I used to spend some time with Ruth Beard, Virginia's sister, and they, of course, Ruth, they were all riders. And they used to have horses up at Camp Max Welton and at another camp up there. I can't think of the name of it. And I rode maybe a horse one or two times, but I'd never ridden a horse. So Mr. Beard got the two horses all ready, and we rode out the road that goes from New Providence back to Pisgah. Not on the Pisgah Road, but just that side road. That's where we rode. And we were just riding along talking, and we'd gone out there almost, I guess, pretty much halfway out there to where you get on that other road where Gene McCannon lived. And we turned the horses around and came back, and we got, it was right along in there, about where Linda Beard, where they built that, it was along in there. And the horse that I was on just flopped down in the road, and it scared me to death, and I really think it scared Winnie too. But it just got out in the road and just kind of rolled and kept rolling its head around. And of course I was just screaming because I didn't know what was going on. And so Winnie said, wasn't very far, see, from there to there. So Winnie said, you stay here with the horse and I'll ride to get Daddy. So that's what she did. And that was the longest, I don't know how long it took her, but it seemed like 2 days that I sat there beside of that horse, a rolling and a groaning and a carrying on. And Mr. Beard came, and he was so nice. And he said, and I was crying, and he said, now you couldn't help it, just don't think one thing about that now, just don't worry about it. And so I must have been 16, something like that. And so he said, just don't worry about it. And he got the horse, got it up and got it home, and I just worried and worried and worried. And the next day, Mr. Beard came and told me that. He said, now I have something to tell you, and before I tell you, I don't want you upset over it because you couldn't help it. This was on a Sunday afternoon that we rode, and he said, the horse died. But he said, I didn't know it, but the horse was pregnant. And he said, I didn't know that it would hurt. He knew that the horse was pregnant, but he said, I didn't know that I knew you all wouldn't be riding it fast, you know. And he said, it just something happened and it had nothing to do with what you were doing. He was just so nice. But anyway, he got that old horse up and got it back.
Gosh.
But I have not been on a horse since and don't plan on getting on one either. Because I don't think I really wanted to be on that one. But Winnie wanted to go, so I just said, okay, I was game for it.
Well, I interviewed Richard Beard, and he told me that he and Ruth used to always ride together in pairs classes at the horse shows.
They probably did.
She was a good rider.
Oh, yeah, she was. And they used to have those horse shows up there at the school, on the school ground.
Ah, in Brownsburg?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had a couple. Oh, they had several of them up there. On the red clay area beside of the stucco building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had several horse shows up there.
Did you go?
I went. That was it. That was later. I believe that was maybe it was before I was married. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I went. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of them up there. I know. The Ruiton sponsored them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they started actually.
And that, see, they didn't have that place up at Bustleburg
mm-hmm,
then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Another thing I wanted you to help me clarify. I went and interviewed Virginia Bell Franklin and Eleanor Franklin Hawkins up in Washington. Eleanor lives in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me where their grandparents lived. And I was confused about that. I
wonder who their grandparents were.
Well, they said, they talked about, you had talked about Mary Stuart Watts mm-hmm. living, I think, on the Raphine Road.
Mm-hmm.
And they said their grandparents, the Franklin grandparents.
Oh, I know.
Lived.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I was thinking that the Lottses and the Franklin grandparents had lived closer to New Providence. But
No. Now it all comes back to me. That's what I was telling you. Sometimes I can't get it. When you say something, it brings it all back. Aunt Ann and Uncle Jim Lotts. I don't know who lives in that house now. But as soon as you turn to go down the Raphine Road from the Brownsburg Turnpike, mm-hmm. the first driveway you go in, it's what the house sits way back in there. And I don't know whether that's the same house or they've torn it down or added on or what. But that's where Grandma Dudley's brother, Jim, and his wife, Ann, lived.
And their name was Lotts?
Their name, Mr. and Ms. Jim Lotts. Mm-hmm. And he had bees. He was a beekeeper. Kept honey bees and fixed honey. Made honey and sold it and that kind of stuff. And the Franklins then lived up just the next house. I think, is there a Runkle lives in that house then?
Well, there's a new house there, a brick house.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's where the Franklin house was. And as well as I remember, that house was kind of a dark red house. I believe it was a dark red house. And so his name was John Franklin. I think his name.
And I think she said the mother's name was, her grandmother's name was Mary Jane.
It could have been. I have heard of Mary Jane.
Okay. Well, I was totally.
I know they had a daughter named Janie. So her mother probably was, but they had a daughter, one of those girls, was Janie Franklin, and then they had a one, and he moved in Stanton, and after Earl and I were married, and moved to Stanton, I saw him, talked to him a couple. His name was Moffett Franklin, and that sister's name was Janie Bell, I think that's
and
what
they would have been Zach's
brothers and sisters, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's who they were.
And they said that their grandfather was sexton for the church, New Providence Church, or that he worked at the church.
He could have. Now I don't have any recollection of that. The first person that I can associate with a sexton there is Jess Lotts.
And what relationship is Jess then to your uncle Lotts who lived? Was he related to them at all?
I think some cousins or something, but I don't know that it's a whole, there were several different families of them, and they were some kin, like mm-hmm. Non-Fireball's daddy was not very much kin. He was, where Don was kin is on his grandmother's side. Don's grandmother was my grandmother's daughter. I mean, my grandmother's sister's daughter. See, that's the way that kin came in on our side, not on the Lot side. Mm-hmm. So they probably were some kin. Jess and Mary lived. And I think that little house is still there, the church on the bank.
Okay, that's how I got confused, I guess.
Is it a brick house?
There's a little mini, we call it the mini manse, up close to the cemetery.
And that's brick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, actually where Jess and Mary lived when he was sexton there early on, that house was yellow. It was a little yellow house that sat on that bank. Then it seems to me like later on they built that other one back there and maybe tore that up, the one first one down. But when Mary, she was a lamb. His first wife was a lamb, Mary Lamb. And they didn't have any children. And it was after Mary died that Jess married Mary Stuart.
Okay. So both of his wives were named Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're clearing up a lot of confusion for me here.
His first wife was just Mary, and then the second wife was Mary Stewart, and she was a lot younger.
And she was a seamstress.
No. That's another Mary. That Ann and Uncle Jim raised Mary Stewart and her brother Henry. They were Coffeys. They were kin to Ann on her side. I don't know whether it was her sister's children or, but they didn't have any, they weren't Lotzes at all. They were Coffeys, Mary Stewart Coffey. I believe his name was Henry. Mary Stewart and Henry. He was by John Layton's agent. I think he died. He lived in Roanoke. A really nice fella. But Mary, the seamstress, her name was Lotz. I don't know what Lotz.
And she made your clothes? She
mm-hmm.
made a
she lot made of- my yeah. She made my clothes because at that time, I wouldn't tell this to everybody, I'd just tell it to the world. But anybody who knows me, I was so fat that mother couldn't buy clothes because back then they didn't have these chubbies like they do now. And I was just broad as I was long, and so mother would get this awful looking material and have my clothes made, and I'll show you a picture of one of them before you go. And they were all buttoned down the front, and they were all just, some of them had a collar on them, but most of them were just plain neck and had rickrack on them, which I don't think, I wouldn't even buy that anymore. But anyway, that was a sore subject because I had to have all those homemade clothes because I couldn't, and I wasn't willing to quit eating, and still I'm not. So Mary sewed for everybody else.
And is this Mary Jess's first wife, or is it somebody different?
No, it's somebody different. Mary, Ann and Uncle Jim raised her, too. And she was some kin to Aunt Ann. I don't know how. I don't know. It seems to me like Isabel that Aunt Ann might have been a plogger, and Mary was some of that people. But she lived there in that house. Aunt Ann and Uncle Jim lived. Mary, the seamstress, Mary Stewart, John Henry, brothers and sisters.
And their last name was Coffey.
Coffey. And Miss Mary Lou Wilson. Now, I'm not sure, but I think that that house maybe was Miss Mary Lou Wilson's. And I believe Aunt Ann and Uncle Jim had gone there to take care of her. She had epilepsy. Back in those days, it's just like you say, now you say a mental institution, they're mentally sick. Back then you said in the asylum, and then Miss Mary, they used to say they had epileptic fits, you know. But Miss Mary had epilepsy, and she carded wool a lot. I mean, she'd just sit at that window. I can remember going out there and just sit at that window and card that wool. She was the sweetest little lady, small, just her voice was real soft, and I've seen her go into one of those. I've seen her go in, and she'd just be sitting there in the card, and all at once she'd just get real stiff, and then she'd just fall out of the chair, and they would get her up and put her in the bed, and she'd sleep a number of hours, and then she was okay. And she didn't have them every day, but she had them quite often. Closer to when she died, she had them pretty often. So I remember one time talking about that brings back another memory. Frances Wiseman, we called her Jude. We walked out there one day. We used to walk a lot up there, and so she and I walked out there. And Jude was a real timid little girl. I mean, Lou and I used to tease her. She wanted to play basketball. If the ball got near her, then she'd go. She's so scared because she's so tiny. And we walked out there. We hadn't been there just a little bit until Miss Mary Lee had one of those spells. And I'm telling you, she just went into hysterics. I thought she was going to have one. She didn't know what was going on. I don't know why I hadn't thought to tell her that she might have one. It was okay. But like I told you, Earl gets on me because I'm not afraid of anything. But she was so scared because Mary Lou had that epilepsy spell. But no, and so Mary was the seamstress. And she sewed for Frances Martin and Frances Bell, her daughter. And well, everybody up around there, that's what she did. And then she moved to Stanton, and she worked at Leggett in the basement, in the material and that kind of stuff. She moved down here, and she married, and she had two children, and the daughter graduated with Doug, and she has worked at Ms. Rouse for years and years and years. She takes your money. Cash register. Mm-hmm. Sheila, really nice little girl, Sheila. Not a little girl, because she aged up. She said 4 years old.
Oh, that's young.
Yeah, it is to me too now.
Well, Eleanor Franklin Hawkins told me that Mary the seamstress offered to help her learn how to sew, and she said for whatever reason she just didn't do it and has regretted it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
That she didn't take that opportunity to learn how to sew from Mary.
Yeah, it was looking back on it. Of course, as I was growing up, and Mother would go out there and take me. It didn't mean that much, but looking back on it, it was kind of a sad life. She had beautiful auburn hair, and she wore it in a knot on the back of her head. It was wavy around here. And she had sat at that sewing machine until the way she sat, you know, like this, until it was hard for her to straighten up. You know, she just got in the habit of sitting like that. But she really had no much of a life. I guess probably when she left was when Aunt Ann and Uncle Jim died, and I remember them dying, but I don't remember which one died first at all. Because they had one daughter, and she died real young with influenza. She died, I think, I'm right on this. She died over there in Miss Marsh's little hospital that she had, where the Andersons live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think Aunt Ann nearly never got over that. They called her little, and her name was Nellie, but they never did call her Nellie. They always called her Little Nellie. And I think she must have been about 16 or 17 when she died of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Ann really never got over that. I think she died over there in that little hospital.
Huh.
But then Mary Stewart then married Jess after Mary died. Mary Stewart, and as far as I know, Mary Stewart hadn't ever gone to anybody. But she married Jess, and then they had two girls. Emma and I can't think what the other one's name is. So.
I'm trying to remember one of the other stories that you told me was about the boys in Brownsburg teasing Dr. Bosworth when he...
Yeah, they would. Tommy would come out there on the weekend, and I don't remember whether his wife was in college or where. I can't remember where Tommy went to college. Maybe Hampton, Sydney.
I think he went to Hampton, Sydney.
I believe it was Hampton, Sydney. And I guess maybe that's where Stella went.
Maybe she went to Longwood.
She could have, yeah, that's right. And they used to tease him because they'd be sitting on that porch. You know, it was right there, that house is, and the porch is gone now. But there was a real long porch there. And they used to sit out there on that porch. And the boys would holler, and her name was Stella. And she was a very attractive girl, but you know, they just wanted to tease Tommy because they knew he got close to him, and they'd get up close enough where they could hear, and they'd say something like, Della Stellar's got her feet in the cellar. And Tommy gets make them go on. But then they, of course, they would run. But, I mean, they were big teenagers then. Because I remember Tommy, and I remember when Stella would come out there. And I used to go down there and chit-chat with them, you know. But those boys, the reason they did it, they saw that it was really getting too Tommy, because they'd hang around and watch them, you know. They'd be sitting in the swing or in the chairs, and those boys would, Stella. Got her feet in the cellar.
Now, Mrs. Chittum, you also had pictures from your first grade class that you just showed me.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just look at the picture and tell me the names of the people that you remember that were in your class?
I think I can do most of them. I may have written them on the back. Let's see. Margaret Ellen Withrow, she lived up there on the way to Lexington on 39. What did they call that? Holla, what is that? Holla, I've kind of forgotten. You turn left and go 39, almost into Lexington. She lived in that brick house on the right hand side. And I used to stop and play with her when Mother would go to Lexington. I'd get out there and play with Margaret Ellen. And I saw her not long ago. I see her real often. She lives in Stanton. Mary Frances Sandridge, that's Colonel's sister. She and I were the same age. And do you know Lucy Poole?
No, I don't think so.
You know Charlie Poole?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Charlie's sister, Lucy. And she and Lucy were, Lucy's in my class too, and she and Lucy were real good friends. And then, let's see, Judy Benson, she's the one that I told you lived out on the hill with Miss, I wish I could bring that name. She wasn't married. Miss something.
Where did she live?
She lives where Doc Martin lives.
Oh, right.
Miss something. I can't think of it. And Mary Catherine Blackwell.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is in your class?
Mm-hmm. Mary Catherine Blackwell.
Oh, can I see her picture? I know her.
Let's see if I can find her. I got it written here, left or right. Let's see. Margaret Ellen, Mary Frances, Tootsie, Judy, Lucy, and Mary Catherine. She's the last. Wait a minute, let's see. Tootsie, Judy, Margaret Ellen, Mary Frances, Tootsie, Judy. Now who's next to Judy? Lucy. Okay, here's Mary Catherine, right here. In the end.
Oh. Uh-huh.
She was the tiniest little thing. Just tiny and just really, really tiny.
And who are Tootsie and Judy and
okay, Tootsie is Margaret Wade. They
okay,
lived where Doris Lunsford
right,
is.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy is lived in the house where the museum is.
Okay, what was
Elizabeth,
her name?
Elizabeth Dunaway.
Okay.
And she's dead. And then I'm beside of her. And then, what is that little girl I told you that was, I just loved her so much. Okay. Mary Ann Knuckles. Yeah, Mary Ann Knuckles. And then Catherine. And Estelle Buchanan.
Who's
and Claire.
Who was Catherine?
Catherine Carwell.
Oh, okay.
Catherine
okay.
Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She, okay. And Irene, who was that name? Irene Smith. She lived, I think so. Irene Smith lived with, Miss Hattie Berry. She took children in at one time. Hattie, you know where they live. Hattie Berry lives where the McManaman
okay,
girls live.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She had a parrot. We used to love, we'd go down there, a bunch of us would go down there real often to hear the parrot talk. But the parrot didn't have a chance with Miss Hattie there.
Did she talk more?
She didn't have a chance. She was a nice lady. She loved kids. And Irene Smith, I think, lived with her. Yeah. Her husband and Miss Pett's husband were brothers. Charlie Berry and I believe his name was John. I told you about Miss Pett. Did I tell you about
She Ms. worked for the doctor.
Who?
Did Miss Pett work for the doctor?
No, she
oh,
didn't
okay.
have a one leg.
Oh, okay.
She lived where the post office okay. is, there was a house there, and that's been torn down. And she sewed. This pet sewed. She sat in the, and the house was real close to the ground, and the porch was almost right on the ground. And then it had an extension there where they, in later years, they rented it out to Miss Emma. Miss Emmy Mines lived in that little extended part of it. But Miss Pitt sat at that window and sewed all the time. You could just walk to anything. And then she had flowers out there in front, and she would, she went out there and worked in her garden and lay that crutch down. People, kids were scared of her because she really, if you got on those flowers or even near them or anything, she kind of thought she owned that sidewalk and all that. Lived right across from Dr. Joe. Now, Ms. Williams, we talked about it when Ms. Williams was still able to talk about things. Ms. Williams loved Miss Pitt. She just loved Miss Pitt. If Miss Pitt liked you, you were good, but if you wouldn't, boy. But the kids were afraid when they'd go down there, they'd get on the other side and not walk on the walk. They'd walk down because they were afraid she'd get after them with her crutch.
And her last name was Barry?
Barry. Mm-hmm. Miss Pitt.
And was she a widow?
She was Miss Pitt Lucas. Is what they all, everybody just called her Miss Pitt. She was a Lucas, but she was married before she was married, but then she married Charlie Berry.
And then was she a widow when she was living there?
I kind of believe she died first. I kind of believe she died first, yeah.
What did he do?
I'm really not sure he did anything. I don't ever remember him doing anything. I don't remember that, but they didn't have any children either.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Hattie didn't have any children either.
So they took in foster children?
I think that's where Irene Smith lived, was over there with Miss Hattie there. I believe that's where she lived. And, but they didn't, I don't believe they had any. She had, her sister lived on that road where you all live. Before you get to your house, on the left, it's the only house along in there that, other than where Boyd and Lou used to live, it's the other little house where Miss Bessie mm-hmm. was married, Buford, mm-hmm. in that house.
Right.
Miss Hattie's sister lived there, Octavia, her name was Octavia, who did she marry? Snyder. Her husband. I can't think of what her. Her husband was John Malley's wife, Joan. Octavia's husband was Joan's daddy's brother, and they lived there. And they had Marion and Estelle and Everett kids. They all went to Brownsburg School. Marion. He's still living. And Estelle and Everett are dead. Yeah, that's right.
You told me the names of the pictures of the girls in your class.
Can you tell
me some of the boys, too? They're in
the
separate
boys,
pictures.
They're in separate pictures, yeah. Okay, the boys are John Lee Thornton. He lived out in Pisgah. He's dead. Jimmy Sweet, he lived on the way to Lexington. That house has been torn down. That section there is called something Hollow, Wolf Hollow, I couldn't think. Jimmy Sweet lived there, and he had sisters, went to Brownsburg, Winifred Sweet, and I can't think of the other girl's name. And Jimmy, I just thought Jimmy was the greatest little fella that ever was. Jimmy, a little red-haired fella, and he just, I just thought Jimmy was great. Then there was a little Carter boy, he lived right as you get to the end of Brownsburg Turnpike, and you turn right to go to Rockbridge Baths and left to go to Lexington. And this little Carter boy lived in that little house directly in front of that. It was kind of down over the back. I don't think that house is there anymore either. And Jesse James, and I was trying to think about him the other day when I found this picture. Jesse James, I cannot think who he lived with, but I've got a question mark over him. I think he was maybe a welfare child too, but Bobby Graham, I think he's dead. Bobby Graham is Maddie and O.C. Wade's nephew, and he lived with them up over the phone office.
Mm. Oh, a little boy lived up there with
them. That he was in my class, and he had a speech, and he stuttered. Real dark, and I saw him after he grew up, I mean, years later, and I had no idea who he was. He didn't know who I was. And I asked somebody who that, I think we were at an auction sale somewhere or something, and I asked him who that was, and they said, that's Bobby Graham. And he had a brother, Hugh Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over and spoke to him. He didn't know who I was. I said, well, I didn't know who you were either. And then Donald Fireball, and then George R. Buchanan is one. And that little boy beside of him, I don't have him. Bobby Runkle. You know Bobby
mm-hmm,
Runkle?
Mm-hmm.
They call him High Pockets.
Right.
And Raymond Sweet. He's dead. His dad, they were from down Newport on the right-hand side. Just after you pass, used to call that place the Cedars.
Mm-hmm,
the left,
mm-hmm.
Just after you pass that on the right, Raymond lived there. His daddy had arthritis, was invalid his whole life. And his sister, I talked to her just a couple months ago. Mary Stewart married one of the Hemps, Mary Stewart Hemp. Bruce Slusser, he's in my class. Bobby Runkle, Hensel Engelman. Hensel's daddy ran the store where the man who runs the antique shop, what's his
mm-hmm.
name?
Dick Barnes.
Dick, all right, Hensel's daddy ran the store where Dick Barnes lives. Then that used to be the farm store. Hensel's daddy ran that. They moved up there from Stritch Draft and then they moved back. And they lived in that house, Hensel. And Hensel died young. And then there, of course, there's my buddy Elwood Weaver. That is the last one back there, that tall boy, grinning. And see, Donald Fireball. Did I name him?
Mm-hmm.
Don, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess that's all of them. But that was a big... I mean, Miss Whipple had her hands full.
That's quite a class. That's a big group.
Now, let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23,
24, 25, 26, 27, 28
children.
Oh, my goodness. And what class? Was this first grade or second
first,
grade? This was first,
first
grade.
Mm-hmm. First grade.
That's quite a big group.
There I am beside of Mary Ann Knuckles. Mm-hmm. That's a big group of children.
And you said sometimes Miss Trimmer would ask Miss Whipple to come and play the piano
mm-hmm.
and then send a high school girl in
to
watch
take
your
charge
class.
Of her class. Mm-hmm. I guess Miss Whipple was probably the only person there that played the piano at the time. I can't think of anybody else that I ever remember. I know Miss Whipple played a lot for glee clubs, and
mm-hmm.
even after I was in high school, we had glee club. And I guess your daddy probably sang in the glee club. I'm sure he did.
I think he did.
I'm sure he did. He ran around with a group of those boys too, Van Patterson and Carl Wiseman, Lou's brother, Carl Boyd, and all that. When your mom and when they were dating, and Ag and Ed and
right.
all that
right.
crew.
And
it was a crew too. I remember them working on those boys coming over there when Lou and them lived beside of us. Carl had this little, Malou probably told you about that his car, he called Elizabeth. I think it was something Elizabeth, and then they called it something Lizzie. And they'd get out there, and they kept parked it between their house and our house in that little space there. And they'd get out there and work on that little Lizzie, and that was a crew of boys, I tell you. Harry Swisher, I think he was one of them. But Sam, and Sam was going with Ellen, and your daddy was going with Anna, and Ed was going with Ag, and Boyd was going with Lou, and Carl was just kind of jumping around from one to the other. He couldn't get settled.
You mentioned the house next to you. You mentioned Letha Swisher.
Letha. Mm-hmm.
Was she a Swisher before she got married?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. She was Mr. Doc Swisher's daughter. You remember Doc?
No,
you,
I don't.
No, you were not sure.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Like my aunt used to, we'd go up to my aunt's in Delaware, and my Uncle Ray would be asking me after he got up in years. He'd be asking me if I knew so-and-so over at Racine, which he didn't realize it was back when he was growing up, and my aunt would get so aggravated. She'd say, Raymond, you know Pookie's not that old. She doesn't know those old people. And he just couldn't realize how mm-hmm. much younger I was than he was. But I lost my train of thought now when I was telling you about it.
Letha Swisher's father.
Oh, yeah. Doc Swisher lived out on Walker's Creek. Out in there where the pools lived, mm. and the thing that I remember mostly, he drove a big cattle truck, a big truck, and it had animals, cattle. I remember that. And her brother was Marie Swope's brother. I mean, her husband. Now, let me see. Wait a minute. Marie Swope was a Swisher. Okay, Letha's first husband, Carl Swisher, was Marie Swope's brother. So Letha was a Swisher, married a Swisher.
Oh, I see.
That's
I
how
see.
That was.
And Marie Swope was a Swisher?
Swisher. Mm-hmm. And they lived, I can't think of where that, what that man's name was. But they lived on the left-hand side, just before you turn off of the Brownsburg Turnpike to go to Decatur. Make that left turn.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They lived
mm-hmm.
in a big farmhouse up there, and I don't know. I hadn't been that road for a while, but I don't remember seeing that road. That may have parted with Jack Hessler Pines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe torn it down. I don't know.
I don't remember a house.
But it was a big house up in there. Met Marie and Letha's first husband were brothers and sisters. Yeah. And she was a Swisher before she married him.
And did the Swopes buy the house after Miss Morris left, or was there somebody in between?
No, I don't believe there was anybody in between there. No, Miss Morris left. She died down at Newport News. She had a son that lived down in Newport News, and they took her down there, and I think put her in a private somebody that kept people.
Mm-hmm.
And she died down there. And I think was maybe buried down there, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't brought back here, I don't think. She had two children, a girl and a boy. Georgie worked in Baltimore at a big department store, one of those big name May companies,
oh,
something like
mm-hmm.
that. And then the other one, the boy, lived in Newport News. And then that family, I think I told you about that family that lived with her,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
stayed on there for a good while until they, I guess that's when they sold the house. I don't remember, but I know they lived there a long time. I think probably they'd already moved though, maybe when I got married. I believe they had. Maybe the house just sat empty.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Swopes were the first people that lived in it, because they did a lot of doing. Fixing
mm-hmm,
it up, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah. I think they were the first people that lived in it after Miss Morris.
And do you know when Mr. Swope took over Suphanger's store?
Let me see. When I was a junior in high school, it was still the farm store. So that would have been in 1946. And then I don't remember, because I moved in 40,
mm-hmm.
left in 47, so I don't remember when he took that
mm-hmm.
over. So when that went out of business.
What happened to Mr. and Mrs. Supinger?
Well, see, she was the one that ran the phone off.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. I guess they just, both of them died. I don't know which one died first. It seemed to me like he died first. I went in there the other day. It was in November sometime, first of November. I went up to Brownsburg and John Layton and them to see John Layton and them, and I stopped it. Well, I actually went to John Layton's and I couldn't find him. Everything was shut up, so I thought nobody was home. And I hadn't called to tell him I was coming, so I went down there to the antique shop, and he and I got to talking, and gosh, we had a really good time reminiscing. He was asking me things, you know. And I told him, I said, this store, I remember coming in here and the barber shop and everything looked so big, and now it looks so little. And he said, well, that's the way a lot of people remember things. Mm-hmm. But I can remember going in there when Bud Wade was cutting hair back there, and it looked so big in that store. And the other day, it just looked like I was, I didn't go down there very much because Mother didn't like for me to go in the barbershop where a lot of men were hanging out. She said she didn't want me in there. So I didn't. I just, once in a while, I would go in there for something, I don't know what, but I'd go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want me to go in there. But I do remember going in there. I don't remember. I remember of having my hair cut, the curls cut off, and I guess Bud must have, I don't know whether he cut them or not, because I don't remember Mother taking me to town anywhere to have my hair cut. But I remember going home with the, I remember not going home, but when we got home, I remember Mother had this bag with my curls in it. And I remember her crying.
How old were you when that was?
Before I started to school. Before I started school, because it just got so that I cried every time she combed it, because they'd get tangled up, because it was all fine, but they were long yellow curls, and she'd roll them around her finger and then pull her finger down, and then when I would walk, it just flopped. She would hurt when she'd comb it. It would hurt, and brush it. It would hurt, and getting ready to go to Sunday school would hurt. And so finally, I just kept saying, I want to have my hair cut. I just want my hair cut. I just don't want this long hair anymore. I don't want these curls. And she would go get ready to go to Sunday school. I thought, well, I guess you maybe would say I was a conniver, because I figured it out that if I stuck my head at the window of the car or rolled the window down, it would blow it all out, and then it would be ugly when I got to Sunday school. So that's what I did. And so then she said if I didn't quit doing that, she was going to comb it out there, you know, and it would really hurt then. I said, well, I want it cut. And so I guess maybe I just hit her at the right time one day. And she said, okay, we'll just cut it. We just cut it. And I kind of think Bud must have cut it, because you can see, I'll show you a picture. It's chopped. It was just awful looking. And then I wished I had them back. But now I've been very fortunate, because it did come back, mm-hmm. You know, and I don't have to worry with my hair now that it did come back. But everybody, I mean, I can remember people when I had it cut, I can repeat to say, oh, what happened to those beautiful curls? These beautiful curls.
Oh my goodness.
And I think I told you about Mr. Matheny, she shopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought I did, but I couldn't remember what that. I don't know. I can't think of any other really.
Well, you covered the main ones that I was really interested in.
It was just a great place to grow up. It really was. And I tease Earl now, because he grew up, he was actually born in Roanoke, but then they moved back here. So Ray Finn was mm-hmm. his place. And so I'm always teasing him. But Ray Finn, I said, nothing. Ray Finn never, ever really got off the ground. I tease him about it. I said, everything in Brownsburg is being restored, and it's so pretty. They're going to have a museum. And
we'll let people from Raphine come and visit.
Yeah, we in fact we were with Ann last night, Ann Lothery, and Earl said something about, we were talking something about Brownsburg, and he said, everybody wants to come to Brownsburg, don't they, Ann? I said, that's right. Yeah.
Well, if you can't think of anything else,
I can't think of anything else.